Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This is the stinking truth.
Well, we won't make this whole podcast about Shador, as captivating as he is. I suspect we'll be talking plenty more about him in podcasts coming up, but there were other stories. The Steelers passing on Shador a number of times. Does it just seem inevitable that Aaron Rodgers is a Steeler?
Yeah, I mean, they ended up taking Will Howard, who's a Pennsylvania kid, right, and couldn't get any scholarships to Pitt or to Penn State. Ended up, you know, going and playing his career over there at OSU. And so he gets to kind of come back home. And I've heard people like, hey, is Will Howard a sign that Aaron Rodgers? No, he's not a sign that Aaron Rodgers is off the table. As a matter of fact, he's a sign that Aaron Rodgers is very much on the table.
Right.
Because I can't imagine they're not having been kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge deal worked out between Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because if there weren't, don't you think the Pittsburgh Steelers would have tried to draft somebody higher, tried to make that move? Ultimately, I feel like Aaron is already signed, sealed, and delivered in Pittsburgh. He's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. They're not going in to this thing with Mason Rudolph and Will Howard and whoever else it is they have on their roster. So, yeah, I feel like this is inevitable that Aaron Rodgers rolls into Pittsburgh and becomes the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Giants quarterback situation stink. To the whole bit briefly about Shador and the idea that there was some sort of collusion. I don't believe in collusion, but I do know that people talk, and you know, sometimes the well can get poisoned and all of a sudden, you know, starts to snowball. Clearly things didn't go well with the Giants. Everything that we're hearing, and there wasn't a team that maybe looked into Shador as deeply as the Giants did. So not only did they pass on Shador, but they end up trading back up to take Jackson Dart. As you look at the Giants quarterback situation right now, do you see the makings of a plan, or is this a giant mess?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't see anybody on that roster is currently constructed other than Jackson Dart being a potential long-term answer. I mean, Jameis Winston is not a long-term answer. Russell Wilson is not a long-term answer. You know, DeVito is not a long-term answer. So Dart is the guy that you hope comes in there that you can develop and that he can become your starter. And I think, you know, ultimately, I think this is a tale of two quarterbacks, you know, not to belabor the Shador Sanders aspect of it, but also to talk about the Jackson Dart aspect of this. So I sat down with Sean Payton after, I was on the phone, but sat down and had like a 2-hour conversation with him last year after the draft, and just about the draft process, the quarterback situation. And he walked me through kind of what went down. And I think the biggest thing that, you know, that gives credence to kind of the theory that Shador Sanders didn't have generational talent and he flunked out on the, you know, on the interview process. Okay. So when I talked to Sean Payton, Sean told me one of the things they did in reviewing all these quarterbacks was they gave them a truckload of information the night before they were going to meet with them. More information than you could ever process, anybody could process, right? And then they basically graded them on how much they actually knew of the offense, how much time they put in to this, how much they could regurgitate, how much they knew, like at the snap of a finger. So he said, hey, man, we loaded them with more information they could ever process. We gave it to them at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We met with them the next morning at, you know, at 9 a.m. And you could pull an all-nighter and not know all the stuff we gave them, right? And so then they graded each quarterback. They didn't really go through it with Caleb Williams because they knew he was going number one overall to Chicago. But with Jaden Daniels, they did it. With Penix, they did it. With Drake May, they did it. With, you know, with Bo Nix, they did it. With J.J. McCarthy, they did it. And Sean Payton was like, Bo Nix came out of that thing with an A+, knew everything. Like knew it like the back of his hand. Like it was phenomenal. The amount of information he retained and what he knew about our offense. And then he has his backpack with him. I go, open up your backpack, you know? He goes, in his backpack, he had athletic tape, a pair of cleats in case he needed to get a quick workout of Theragun. Everything he had in his backpack, it was like the Bo Callahan thing from draft day. Everything he had in his backpack had to do with football stuff. And it sold them. Like, this is our guy. And that process is incredibly important. Understanding that your quarterback is all about football and that he can regurgitate all those things, that he knows all those things, that he studied. Like, that he really spent time, right, studying all that stuff. Like, that is big time. That information is huge. And Jackson Dart, by all accounts, aced that aspect of the draft process. And Shedeur failed it. And like, that's a red flag. If you're an NFL team and you're like, this quarterback did not spend any time, you know, preparing for our draft meeting. If that is, in fact, the case coming out of the New York Giants organization, and then Jackson Dart, the guy who's considered the third overall quarterback, aced that process and he's got big time talent. Yeah, he jumps over everybody. So I could see that exactly as being what transpired. Like, I don't know, but all the reports you read, it sounds like that's what went down.
So Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston will be the dreaded bridge quarterback for a few weeks before Dart gets his chance?
I would assume so. I don't think the Giants are going to be great, although they have the makings of an outstanding defense, right? And they were pretty good last year. But yeah, if Jackson Dart has that kind of talent and you kind of know what Jameis Winston is and you know what Russell Wilson is, could I see Jackson Dart becoming that guy that that takes over after a short time? I could see Jackson Dart coming in there and them going, hey, listen, man, the future is Jackson Dart and we might as well start the future now. So I could see either Jameis or Russell Wilson getting cut. Couldn't you?
Yeah.
Especially, yeah, what is Russell making? Like, money-wise, I could see them cutting one of those guys and saying, hey, we're not going to go down that road.
While we're still bandying about some of the stuff that went on in the draft, the prank phone calls. Yeah. Shedeur Sanders got the celebrated one, but Tyler Warren reportedly received some as well. Jeff Ulbrich, the former interim head coach with the Jets after Robert Saleh got fired, now with the Falcons as a defensive coordinator, reportedly left an iPad open that had all the numbers of the prospects and the private phones that they had. His son, 21-year-old son, a student at Ole Miss, got a hold of it. They pulled out the prank call and videotaped the whole thing and put it out there. Not a smart move. Should anything happen to Ulbrich? I mean, should the Falcons do anything with this, or what are some of the ramifications, consequences that come out of that?
Yeah, I mean, embarrassing for Jeff Ulbrich. He's a really good coach. He played in the league for a long time. He's a great guy that's very well respected by the guys he coaches. Do I think he should be punished? No, I don't think he should be punished. I think it's unfortunate. I think his kid is an immature 21-year-old knucklehead. And, you know, and I get that. I mean, I understand that, Mike. But should Jeff be punished? No. And, you know, I know Jeff well enough to know I'm sure he is, you know, devastated, upset, incredibly disappointed in his kid. You know, you leave something open on your laptop, your work in your office or whatever, and your kid walks in and is talking to you and you leave the room and he's jotting down numbers. I mean, come on, dude. Like, come on. I I'll tell you a quick story, which is funny. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I won't. This is just my relationship with Mike Shanahan. Sometimes he'll download a bunch of film on his iPad and goes, I want you to take a look at, he's like a mentor to me, right?
Yeah.
And he'll go, I want you to take a look at this film. I want you to take a look at these things, you know, da 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 da. I got a whole load of stuff. And then, you know, I want you to take it home with you, eyeball it, study it, learn it. And then let's get together next week and we'll go over it. I'm like, great. So I got this iPad full of stuff, you know, and I'm watching different concepts and, you know, and, you know, Mike is kind of tutoring me through all this stuff. Right. He's like, I'm going to Cabo, take my iPad. I'll come back and, you know, we'll kind of go over all this stuff. Right. I'll have his iPad, man. It'll be everybody and their brother's uncle. Like all of a sudden you're watching something and Bill Belichick's texting, you know, da 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 da. And I'm like, I'm sitting there watching going, you know, I could pilfer all your contacts, right?
Yeah.
But like, I know better, right? I'm there was probably a time in my life where I would go, write that down. Right. But I just, you know, I skip it like it's my grandson when he's got one of my or my wife's cell phone and a number comes up and goes, you know, he just like all of a sudden my daughter's calling me, goes, he'll just exit out like nope, ignore. Right. He's too busy watching, you know, watching a video. So anyhow, just funny. But yeah,
well, here's what I got to know. When some of these famous people would have reached out to Shanahan, was there ever any part of you that just wanted to have a little fun and be Mike Shanahan? Hey, Bill, Mike.
No, how you doing? I would like,
what do you need to know?
Right. The respect I have for Mike, obviously, and the relationship I have with Mike, I would never, ever.
Because, and let's be honest. Yes, it's a healthy dose of respect, but mainly it's still
fear.
Fear.
Yeah. I could not bear for him to sit down, you know, coming back, especially coming back from Cabo, because you know he's always tan.
Yes.
But when he comes back from Cabo, he's the color of your sweater. So, and to have him, have the fire marshal just looking at you like,
just,
I'm so disappointed.
So disappointed in you.
Like, you know, that would be way too much for me to handle. Way too much.